Hello and welcome to the ATG Super Show, episode 16. It is the weekly gaming podcast where we talk about games, games, games. And who better to talk about games, games, games than a couple of gamers? Steph is here.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm doing really well. I can't believe this is episode 16.
I know, it's gone so fast.
That's one a week, 16 weeks of podcast.
Good maths.
Some good maths.
Quick maths.
Apart from the 1 week we skipped for Christmas.
We don't talk about that week.
That doesn't count. That's Christmas. That's Christmas week.
That other luscious voice in your ear, making his long-awaited return to the pod. It's John.
Luscious. Thank you very much. Very generous, mate.
It is a luscious voice you got there.
Northern.
Nice set of pipes you got.
Oh,
how you been?
I've been good, mate. You know, just been playing a lot of Parallax games as always.
Oh, we will get to that in just a minute. But before I ask these two gamers what they've been gaming on, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a heads up of what we got coming up on today's episode of the Super Show. Of course, we're going to be rolling through the biggest and best news items of the last week. We're going to be talking about what was kicking off at PAX East, looking at that Borderlands 3 reveal that Gearbox pulled off, talking about Valve's new VR headset, maybe even talking about the Sega Genesis Mini or the Mega Drive for us here in the UK.
Mega Drive.
Yeah. It was a Mega Drive.
Big time. And of course, as we roll through all those news stories, we don't just want to offer our opinions, we want to hear yours. So remember to chime in the comments down below. You can also reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We are just about everywhere on the internet. Let us know what you think about the news stories we're going to cover and what you would have liked us to talk about or talk about next week. But before we get to all of that, boys, what have you been playing?
Should I go first?
Get stuck in there, mate.
Hopefully you got something juicy for us.
Yeah, you've got
a big smile on your face.
I've got a couple of juicy things. I went back into Far Cry New Dawn. Where I am at the moment. I've done the first section of the game, did the intermission. I've just met Joseph Seed again.
Wow, big spoiler. So 2 minutes into the podcast.
That's not really a spoiler. I'm not that far into the game. But I'm quite liking it. I didn't play it on release because other people in my household were playing it first.
Right.
So I waited for them to finish it. So I started that. But I've also been playing Tropico 6, which came out last Friday.
Wow, hot new release.
Why do it to yourself?
I know. I thought every single year a Tropico game comes out and I think, okay, I'll give this one a go. Is it going to be better than the last? And it's good. It's all right. But it's Tropico 5.
A little prediction.
With a new skin.
Is it identical to Tropico 1? But with better graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They're very much identical games, but you get a new nice new skin.
Right. They're so disappointing. It's such a disappointing franchise.
Yeah, they are.
You could play as a dictator, rule a tropical island, and it's dull.
Yeah.
And you have to play evil. You can't even play good. You have to rig the election or kill everybody.
Yeah.
Which was the last Tropico you gave a spin, John? Because it sounds like you're a bit jaded.
Five. I've played every single one apart from 2, and obviously not 6 yet. And yeah. I know I'm going to pick it up in the Steam. So, it's $4.99. Yeah, why not? Why not? 4 minutes later, why?
Yeah.
Why have I done this? Go and get a refund? No, I can't be arsed.
Because it sounds like your cup of tea, knowing the games that you like.
On paper, it's my ideal game.
Well, yeah, on the surface, it's a city builder.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep all your citizens happy, give them food, give them water, give them health, give them entertainment.
Yeah.
But underneath, you've got to then balance powers between different factions. So on your island, you've got like revolutionaries, which is kind of like your rebel classes. Revolutionaries, you've got the crown, which is your the English, basically the British, like overarching ruler. So you've got to please all these people, but then you've got to please other countries as military power as well.
Okay, but do you get to do the fun dictator shit?
Locking people up.
Yeah, like locking people up, a few massacres, out the population.
Yeah.
Make people kiss your armpits.
No, there's no Saddam Hussein elements aren't really included. No.
So I can't roleplay Saddam Hussein in this game.
No, not specifically. You can imagine that.
I'm out.
Yeah, he's done. There's no cutscenes.
It's a rock or bust for me. Well, you haven't been playing Tropico, John. You've made that much clear.
Yes.
But you must have been playing some kind of strategy game of some kind.
Of course.
Surely.
I'm still playing Crusader Kings 2, because of course I am. Of course, that's all I play. A bit of Stellaris every now and then. It's been great, mate.
What are some story threads you have going on at the moment in Crusader Kings 2? Because I know there are some wild options out there.
Well, I managed to unite Great Britain into one nation as, the Bab Clan.
Oh, yeah.
Great. You can custom roleplay. Yeah, so the Bab Clan is now the ruler of, Britannia. But unfortunately, I had a little bit of an heir problem And my only heir was a 0-year-old girl who had severe intellectual disabilities.
Good
and
God.
So when she came to the throne, there just a civil war basically broke out, and I lost half of my territory. So all that hard work has to be redone again now. And only if that girl survives and has an heir herself. So, otherwise, the Bab clan dies out.
At this point in the game, is that girl the only link you have to
I've
the game?
I've had a very bad run in terms of people in my dynasty, and consequently, she is my last hope.
But are you basically just playing as her now? Is that what that means?
Yeah, so Crusader Kings 2, you basically have a dynasty and you play as one character, but then you have heirs. And when your main character dies, providing you've got a strong blood link to one of these heirs, you carry on playing as the best heir. But when you run out of heirs, you run out of game, and it's game over.
Because so, another family...
Yeah, your dynasty's dead. Your dynasty's dead.
That seems quite interesting. Do you have any high hopes for your...
Not really. This seems like this seems like a lot of hours wasted, ultimately.
How far along is she in the bloodline, though?
Oh, I mean, it takes a while to unite the Britannia. So it's taken me like 400 or 500 years. And now it's come to this. We've got nothing left.
The Bab clan on its last legs.
Yeah.
You might be shocked. Something strange might happen.
It could. Well, I've got 16 years where I don't really even get to control the game because it's like she's a minor.
Right.
So like, there's a regency council sort of takes over, and you only have sparse decisions.
Yeah.
And they're obviously all out for themselves. It's a great game. You should definitely play it.
Okay. Yeah. I tried it once for like 5 minutes and I thought, this is too confusing. John made this sound like it was all about marrying horses and going mad and killing people.
You can.
But I didn't get to any of that in the first 5 minutes, so I quit like any good gamer would.
Yeah. I can understand that.
I'll wait for Crusader Kings 3.
Yeah. One day. I think they've finally stopped releasing expansions for this, so we can move on with our lives. But you, Jay, what have you been cracking on?
Expansions, I have been stretching out my time with The Division 2, waiting for new content to come. There is some apparently due out this Friday. For anyone that knows The Division 2, the title Basin Stronghold will become available and World Tier 5 will be unlocked.
Oof.
So that means for anyone who doesn't know The Division 2, that's a bunch of weird gibberish. But it basically just means it's an excuse for us to play the same game for more than we've already played it.
How many hours so far?
Not that much for me. I'm probably around the 50 to 60 mark.
Jesus.
It's not that insane. And a quick shout out to the ATG Division 2 clan. A bunch of folks on our Patreon who also jumped on the Discord. I linked up with them. We made the clan. It's a couple of weeks old now. It's been fun playing with them all. So shout out
Have you done any raids yet?
Raids aren't in the game yet. So 8-man raids will be coming to the Division 2 at some point.
Not.
But they're not in the game yet. No.
8-man.
See, that's strange. But then that makes sense because people need to get to level 30.
Yeah.
And then they'll do the world tier stuff first before jumping into a raid. But
the rollout of their year one content will start soon. And, you know, we'll have a better idea of what the long game will look like for the Division 2 when that happens. But in the meantime, it's still reasonably fun.
I think it's quite nice that it's free as well. The content.
Oh yes, I thought you were talking about the Division 2.
Oh no, you have to buy
the
game.
That's a Ubisoft product.
But the actual content updates are free. They're not behind DLC kind of paywalls like you would expect from.
It's nice and it helps. You know, it doesn't split the player base. It means anyone who buys the game is essentially locked in for the first year.
Yeah,
which is nice in that genre. Other games in that genre should perhaps take note. Shout out to Anthem. And on that bombshell, shall we jump into a little bit of the news?
Why not, mate?
Now, there were a few big functions and events towards the start of the week that we're going to completely not talk about. We're going to skip over them because they were a bit boring. Shout out to Sony and PlayStation State of Play event, which was complete guff. But you know what hasn't been guff? PAX East, for the most part, was not that guff. And that is largely thanks to Gearbox.
Yes.
And their little showing on, was it Thursday? Thursday evening in the UK?
Yeah.
I watched it on the train.
You watched it on the train? I watched it from the office because I work hard.
And I watched it the next day because I'm lazy.
Yes.
But at least you watched it.
Yeah,
we've all watched it. Hopefully you have too. But for those of you who haven't, a quick breakdown of what Gearbox got on stage to talk about. There were some non-Borderlands-related announcements. They are publishing Risk of Rain 2, which is out now in Early Access, and a few other bits and bobs like that before they got into the thick of the Borderlands stuff. We'll rattle through that as well. Borderlands 1 is getting remastered. That's coming out this week. There's a 4K update for the Handsome Collection. That's Borderlands 2 and the pre-sequel packaged together for the current gen. There's a Borderlands tabletop game, and then eventually we get to the bit that everyone was waiting for, and it is now real. Borderlands 3 is a thing. Steph, I'll start with you, because I know you've played the Borderlands games.
Yeah.
And I know, how do you feel about Borderlands 3 now that you know it's real, it's coming, hopefully soon, who knows, but it is real. We've got a trailer. There are guns with legs.
Have you seen the meme that runs...
I've seen too many memes about guns with legs.
There was one about the girlfriend calls up and says, when are you coming home? Or do you want to come over or something like that? And he's just like, I'm a gun. I can't come over. I'm a gun. So good.
Like, anyway, all visual gags best described in audio.
Yes, especially memes. Yeah. I think that is the new meme, is describing memes from a visual perspective.
If you can describe a meme.
That was great.
If everyone just gets that image up in their heads, I'm sure they'll be having a big chuckle at home right now.
They will be. They will be. Or they'll Google it and then they'll chuckle. But there I chuckled. But yeah, I am really looking forward to it as a Borderlands fan, playing I think three of them. 1, 2 and the pre-sequel.
Yeah.
Saying that though, number two I don't really remember. But number one and the pre-sequel I think are really good. And I can't wait for the game to come out, especially as jumping back into co-op with friends again.
I was going to say, you've already started replaying the first Borderlands.
I did, yeah.
Even before the remaster patch has come out on PC, because you were that hungry to get back into Borderlands.
Yeah, I jumped back into Borderlands over last weekend, just to kind of refresh my memory, because I knew it was going to be a subject that we'd talk about on the podcast. Just went back to have a look at it. I completed the first area of the game. It still
holds up.
Stands the test of time.
So, someone who hasn't played Borderlands, spoiler,
I would.
Is
go
it
back.
Worth me getting the remaster collection?
Yes, the Handsome Collection, for sure.
Could you see yourself doing that, John? Rolling through all the old Borderlands and then straight into 3? I mean, is this a genre that appeals?
I mean, as someone who's tried to play all of the DMCs and failed, and all of the Witches from the start and failed, this doesn't bode well for me. But I probably will buy the full thing. Play one and then go, this hasn't aged as well as I have no nostalgia value. There's no nostalgia value there for me. And then I'll go, you know what, probably leave it, and then won't even buy the new one.
Well, this is the thing that I've seen online, is the fact that articles have come out from various kind of top end publishers saying that there wasn't enough from what they saw in that initial trailer, that gameplay reveal trailer from the PAX demonstration. There wasn't enough difference in terms of visuals compared to the older Borderlands game. So they're going kind of on this narrative right now that it just looks like exactly the same game. Why would we go for Borderlands 3? Because we've already played this game before.
Yes.
With the previous versions. But of course they've only got that trailer to go on, they can't go on anything else. But for that reason, you might get on with
But they've been met with a lot of backlash, those publications.
They have, and I think one of them, was it GameSpot?
I think GameSpot and Polygon were the two notable ones who.
GameSpot.
If we're naming names.
Naming names.
Name drops.
The dislike ratio on those on that video.
Spicy.
Absolutely amazing.
But it's a shame because it's an opinion, an unpopular opinion, but it's an opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think Borderlands would be for everyone. That kind of cartoon aesthetic won't be for everyone. People will want more realistic. Kind of Far Cry, New Dawn looking.
But would that still be a Borderlands game, though?
No, it wouldn't.
So
no.
Oh yeah, I think that aesthetic is vital to what makes Borderlands.
Yeah,
Borderlands.
I think so, and that's why I like it as well. Is because it is that kind of fake, unnatural, cartoony aesthetic.
Yeah.
Whereas comparing it to Metro, that's a bit too.
Oh, they're completely different conversations. Yeah, I don't think they've even got the same audience at all. I don't think they have the same share of the market.
No.
I think, though, going back to what you were saying, John, I think you'll find the first Borderlands a lot more accessible compared to the first Witcher or the first DMC.
Yes.
Have you played any kind of loot-based games, any Diablos, anything like that?
Not really. No. This will be my dipping my toe in the water.
I feel like if you've never played one of those games before, that there's still a chance that those loot mechanics will get their hooks in you like they do everyone.
What is it? Mm. What? How many guns in the first one?
Oh, I can't remember.
Millions.
And now we're to a billion like with over a billion, is it? Or one billion?
I think they said a billion.
Like a billion.
They said with the new one, there are different parts. So rather than picking up a new gun, you pick up parts. Have I read that correctly?
I saw a
rumor somewhere.
I haven't been reading much of the rumor stuff.
So I'm assuming a part would be like a red dot scope.
That would be nice.
That's
procedurally generated rather than just the entire weapon in itself. Because although they do say a million, there's like a million guns. It's not.
It's a million combos.
Stats.
Yeah.
But the actual shell of the gun and how it plays is they're pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Is there much of a story going on?
There is a story. I think the story is quite simple, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that has been evidenced by the announcement of Borderlands 3 and a lot of the conversation around it is that clearly a lot of the hardcore Borderlands fans have become very attached to the characters. And I think it's a lot of the supplementary characters and characters around the story that have become quite popular. And I think the fact they managed to make a whole very popular and apparently quite funny Telltale series out of that universe goes a long way to sort of like saying that there probably is a bit of substance here. But I never actually played Tales from the Borderlands. No, I never played it.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah, I think it was a PlayStation Plus game at some point because I was looking at the store the other day and I realized I had it. So I might play that because there are some characters from Tales from the Borderlands in Borderlands 3.
That
so
Commandant Steel. Is that where she's from?
You're asking the wrong guy, I'm
Commandant
afraid, Steph.
Steel. Borderlands Origins.
Our resident Borderlands expert, unfortunately.
You're effectively having a conversation with yourself at this point.
She's one of the sirens.
There you go.
Commandant
Steel. I know what they are.
And there's only six in total, isn't there, in the universe or something?
With six, with three known.
Okay. We've got to be careful. We're going to get too many correction comments
from the Borderlands fans.
You guys don't know anything about Borderlands.
Yeah. Well, Commandant Steel is technically not a siren anymore because she's dead.
I love how it's still going.
Loves dropping still spoilers. Going. Loves it.
Not only spoilers, but spoilers about things we can't even talk about.
Yeah.
Can't say anything about that. So,
you've ruined it for me. I was going to buy these.
Just anything else you want to get off your chest? Any more
she's
spoilers?
She's not in the games. She's in, I think they're comic books or visual graphic novels.
Oh, so she's dead in the lore.
Yeah. Yeah, not in the games. She doesn't make an appearance in the games. Not that I can remember. But she's dead in the lore.
Trusting you on
that. Back to the game itself.
Yes.
But yeah.
So overall, we're looking forward to Borderlands 3, is it fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Do you feel like there might have been room for a lot of people looking at that space and seeing what games like Destiny, for example, have done, moving towards the games as a service model, more of creating an online hub, something like that? Do you think there was room for those kind of improvements in Borderlands 3? Or do you think that they made the right choice by making a game that looks like it's going to, pun not intended, stick to its guns and aim itself at the already existing fans of Borderlands and deliver what they want from a Borderlands sequel?
Yeah, I think that's first and foremost what they've done.
That's
with
the same. You think that was the right move
at the moment?
Okay,
until people play through the story mode and they get their kind of feet under the table with Borderlands again, they might in the future bring out some kind of DLC content to further that kind of team-based play, the raids,
maybe.
They do with Destiny.
That'd be cool. That'd be a nice touch.
But at the moment, I think releasing it as kind of that single-player or cooperative experience definitely will work in their favour.
Okay,
sticking to their guns.
Well, I might have played most of the Borderlands games that have been released so far.
Yeah.
But one Borderlands game that did escape me, if you count it as its own one, was the release of Borderlands 2 VR for the PlayStation VR. Last Christmas. And the reason I didn't play it? Because I don't have a headset.
Big obstacle.
Shout out, Sony. Get in touch. Jamie needs to play this.
Well, that wasn't what I was trying to do. But you're right,
do.
John.
Please do.
Send us anything, actually. VR headset, any PS4s you got lying around.
We'll take anything.
Games, literally anything. Yeah. Not going to beg, but please. But you're right, John. It is a big obstacle for some people. And it's an obstacle that Valve are trying to tackle in their own unique way.
This guy's a pro.
It really looks like Valve have a new VR headset on the horizon. You can tell they do because Steph has got his phone out to check his notes. Because you can tell you've got some stuff to say, clearly.
Well, there's not much to say.
Right, because at the moment this is essentially just a tease.
Yeah.
There's an image out there of what appears to be a VR headset.
Yes.
A message that some people have been able to extract from that image, which says, upgrade your experience May 2019 and also a rumored name that I've heard floating around called the Valve Index.
Yeah. Mm.
Maybe not an official product name, maybe a prototype or working title kind of name. But either way, after working with HTC to bring out the Vive, yeah, it appears as though Valve are bringing something new to the table.
Which I think is strange.
Why is that?
Because if they work so heavily with HTC on the Vive,
yes,
then surely they must have some kind of share or stake in HTC's Vive.
You'd imagine surely. So, but I wonder if the sales are drying up and now it's time to move on. Possibly, and they want to, yeah, go on their own.
Possibly. Or the Vive is just far too expensive. Because that's still the most expensive, I think.
Is that your way of saying that you think this could be a cut price VR, yeah, headset? Akin, oh, to, yeah, what the area that Oculus has started to move towards?
Well, Oculus now, is it the Oculus S that's coming out? And then they've got a completely cableless Oculus headset coming out. And their price, sort of, from what I've seen, in the $400 region. Maybe even less for the Oculus S, around $300. So the Hive is still way more expensive than that.
Yeah. So you think this is Valve's way of competing, not just like, you know, keeping up to date with the hardware, sort of where that is, but also a competitive price.
I think, yeah, it's trying to compete in that kind of market for VR headsets.
That would be interesting. John, you've got a reasonably powerful laptop, powerful enough to play most, yes, high-end games, but as far as I'm aware, you haven't adopted any VR tech.
I've not adopted any VR, and I've only ever played VR once.
How did it go?
I think you might have been there. It was Comic Con many, many moons ago.
Oh, I was there, yeah.
Yeah, London Comic Con, not the good one. and it was the pirate, the space
pirate trainer, yeah, or something.
And I loved it. It was very good, but not good enough for me to go out and buy. I'm not Jonesy. I haven't gone out and spunked like grand on top end VR stuff,
yes,
in my garage.
So that begs the question then, if Valve's new VR headset is a reduced price, maybe even like you don't even need as heavy hardware specs to play, could you see yourself getting into VR with the right headset on the market?
Well, I think with the right game,
right,
I could take the bait. And there is rumours, of course there's rumours, that this VR headset will be launched alongside a new Half-Life game.
Yes.
And that could be enough to get me to bite the bullet. Like, if they release Crusader Kings 3 as a VR experience, I'm there. You know, you need to give me a reason to get it. Yeah?
So you can look around your big map.
Look at me. I'm in my castle. Great. Whatever. But, like, Half-Life could be that game to get me on the hook.
Do you think that would be a dick move if a Half-Life game came out after all this time? And who knows, it might not actually be Half-Life 3. But let's call it a new Half-Life game. And it's VR only?
Yeah.
I think that pisses off more people than
you think? Well, it shifts them.
That would be
I think it shifts them, but I think a lot of people are unhappy.
Yeah, that would be reviewed.
Look at what's happening now with Epic Games exclusivity. Yeah. All you're asking people is to use a different storefront, and they don't want to do it.
Off, yeah.
Now you're asking people to buy a headset in an entirely new format? Mm-hmm. It's a bold move, Cotton.
It's a bold move. It's a bold strategy.
Yeah, I think that's very bold.
I think it's bullshit anyway. I don't think there will be a new Half-Life.
I agree, but there we go. Rumours are fun.
Yeah.
I think the thing with VR, when you look at the headsets as well, and thanks to the new headsets coming out, the technology's changing, so you don't need this giant space anymore. Because when VR first hit the markets, you used to have to put sensors around your room and in the corners and things like that. But now you've got built-in sensors on the actual masks. And it's actually rumored that that they've got two sensors on the top of the new Valve Index. So it'll be interesting to see how that will work if you still need a really big space, or if you've got like a desk in the corner of your room, are you just going to be able to sit at your desk and it's still going to give you a kind of a decent VR experience?
It almost feels like for VR to progress, all these changes need to happen at once. You know, the screen door effect needs to be minimized. The viewing distance,
IDF, IDV or
something like that. That needs to be as the field of view IPD. Needs to be as wide as possible, for lack of a better way of putting it. The screen resolution, the refresh rates as high as possible, but also the stuff that Steph's talking about. People don't want to have a room in their house, unless they're Jonesy, where they somehow have the space, the time and the money, have a room in their house devoted to VR.
Yeah.
So you can put these weird pillars in all the corners and have an extremely powerful PC to go with it. If Valve can crack this thing and say, actually, this is a freestanding VR headset, minimal PC requirements, it's affordable, and you don't need weird pillars all around the place. It could be... It's weird to talk about it this way because there have been so many headsets before it, but almost the entry point for a lot of people into VR.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, if they can make it work on my like 4-year-old gaming laptop, then...
Then that's the dream,
then I'm
right?
in. But like, I can't afford a massive rig to play some, I don't know, let's say... games that are interesting, but not necessarily games that I'm going to sink 40 hours into. Mm.
Games that even the developers themselves describe as experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Sony have done it so well on their headsets, because they're competitively priced, and you don't need an expensive console to play it.
No, yeah. Like you've got a PS4, you're done.
Yeah. So that's why I think so many people invest in that kind of hardware to get their VR kick. Yes. Even though the games might not be full release games, as you said, they're just experiences like bow and arrow hunting and like pilot wings flying around.
But Sony is still going out and getting some decent exclusives. I remember Astrobot was one that was being pushed quite hard towards the end of last year with the Black Friday sales and Christmas sales. There were some really affordable bundles out there for PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
And if Valve can even approach that market, this could be a big seller for them.
Yeah.
Plus, obviously, they've got the new controllers, which have been long rumoured and long discussed, that could coincide with this.
The Knuckles.
As everyone's kind of moving towards these controllers where your fingers and thumb are essentially almost free.
Yeah.
So you can move them independently and it knows where your fingers are. And
that'd be man, sick.
When we get to the point where we have gloves that have haptic feedbacks when you pick something up.
I mean, like Minority Report.
Ready
like
Player One vibes.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're starting to sound like Jonesy.
That'd be sick. I cannot wait for that.
You're going to be waiting a long time.
Oh, there's already running platforms.
There are.
You strap yourselves into like a platform on the floor and it's got like a 360 treadmill on it, like a ball, and you run on it.
Fair enough.
And you run them. Or next we need haptic feedback for when you get shot in the side or something. Like if you're playing Call
of
Duty.
Would you want that though? And okay,
yes.
You'd want that. You'd want them to feedback things to let you know. Okay,
yes.
What kind of pain level are we talking? Are we talking about like a paintball, a BB gun?
Yeah, like a bruise.
Yeah, like if I.
You want bruises.
No, bruise is mental. Bruise is mental.
Imagine playing Call of Duty on the hardest difficulty and the gunshots bruise
you. Like a little pinch.
You look like a golf ball.
No, there are things out there that give you little pinches already. If you're playing Call
of Duty... You want a hard bruise,
yeah,
dude.
If you're playing Call of Duty and you get hit with a bullet...
You're going to get hit so many times.
What if you get shot in the eye? You have a black eye.
No, just a body.
Think about how much damage you take as well. It's not like you take one bullet and it's like, oh, that's fine. It's like bang, 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 bang. Oh, my God. Covered in bruises.
It reminds me, there was a Jackass realism bit once in one of the movies. I think it was called The Cheetah. And it was Wee Man would stand there with a shirt off and a bunch of people, like 10 people, would stand in a row and shoot him with a paintball gun.
Oh.
And he just had to stand there and take it until he couldn't take any more. And when they started to heal up and bruise, he looked like a cheetah because he just had so many dark spots all over him. And that is Steph's dream.
Yeah.
Steph wants that.
A minute ago, you were like, oh, I couldn't imagine doing that. Oh, but it's like, bruise me. Bruise me if it's COD.
If it's COD Battlefield, someone shoots you with like a Lee Enfield rifle.
If you die in the game, I want to die in real life.
Like a little bit of a wind. Not a pinch.
You want to get winded.
A little bit of a wind. Like,
so you're keeled over, winded, and you're just getting pounded.
Yeah, you just lay there.
Make that
someone's
noise.
Just
make that noise again.
You.
Make your winding noise. I'm glad we got that on the podcast. And if anyone wants to cut that out as a soundbite and use it for any nefarious purposes, please do.
Do it. Text message.
That's versatile. That's a versatile noise you just made.
Very versatile. That's winding noise. Well, that is a unique vision for the future of VR, Steph.
Yeah,
and I hope you won't be offended when I say that I am glad you're not in the driving seat when it comes to the technology that VR will introduce and engage with in the future. But we have to move on.
Unfortunately.
We have to move on. And why not go from the biggest, baddest tech in the gaming scene with high-end rigs and expensive VR headsets to something that most people already have in their pocket. I talk about the mobile phone, but specifically of the iOS variety. Talking about Apple's handsets, which it looks like I'm the only person at the table who's got one.
Yeah, you are.
What are you two rocking?
I've got a OnePlus 2.
Is that one of the Chinese ones?
It's a classic.
Yeah, it's over 3 years old, mate.
Chinese. And Steph?
I've got a Google Pixel 3.
Mr. Tech.
Mr. Tech.
Tech Murphy.
Did you get it sent out for free?
No, I had to buy this. Oh, I've got it on a contract with O2 from Mobile Phones Direct.
Lovely. How many texts you get a month?
How many texts?
You're very good at blurring the line between when you're being sponsored and when you're not. Yeah. That could 100% have been an ad read.
It could have been.
I got this in a contract with O2 with 1,003 texts a month.
I don't know how many texts I get a month.
Probably unlimited.
Probably now.
We're at this stage now.
Yeah.
50 gig data though. That's a lot of gaming in Netflix. This kind of thing.
Have you ever owned an iPhone though, Steph?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I didn't get on with it.
Well, no, if you ever decide that you want to come back around to the iPhone, Apple have announced a new service that you might be able to take advantage of. We are, of course, talking about Apple Arcade, the new service that was announced at the Apple event last week, just before Oprah took to the stage and told us all about how Apple are making the new Netflix. But this was the only thing we were really interested in.
Mm.
So for anyone that doesn't know, this is going to be a subscription-based model coming to iPhones, iPods, iMacs, Apple TVs, basically all the things they make, probably towards the end of the year. And essentially the way they pitched it, and I actually kind of liked this approach, was that if you look at the App Store right now, the games that are popular and the games that are making a lot of money, naturally it's dominated by free-to-play games that are you know, filled to the brim with microtransactions. That's how they make a lot of money. Those are the games people are playing.
Yeah.
And they want to essentially build a service, a platform, that will be a home to what was once the traditionally the paid experience. You know, games we talked about in this podcast recently, like Florence or Donut County, or games like that would be good examples of the kind of games they're going to go after. Put them all in one subscription-based service. It's going to have 100 games at launch, more going forward. You pay a monthly fee, and you can download them and play them whenever you want. So it's a traditional subscription model, but I thought it was interesting that in the wake of Google Stadia and all the stuff we talked about, you know, this time last week, that Apple came out this soon and announced a service that I kind of wasn't expecting. I know neither of you two have iPhones, but how do you feel about this kind of service? Is it suitable for the mobile platform?
No.
No, straight
up.
Well,
I don't know, actually. I don't know. I think from what I've looked into it, with the list of games, there's nothing in that list,
no killer app,
that seems remotely popular to drive it. If they had someone like PUBG Mobile, for example, on board with Apple on the Apple Arcade, then that will make a huge difference. But these games just feel very unknown at the moment.
Right. But is there not an argument to be made that all of those games, these kind of more artistic, kind of independent games, are always going to be relative unknowns until they come out and an audience, and they can find an audience?
Yeah, I'd imagine. Are we looking at like a lot of puzzle games, that sort of stuff? Those sort of Candy Crush level games, but without the microtransactions?
I don't think it's going to be those kind of games.
I
think it's the more the kind of the traditional indie studio, kind of like I said, Florence, Donut County. They showed a lot of the, its name escapes me annoyingly now.
The Ninja Game.
There's the Ninja Game, but also they kept referencing, oh God, I can't remember its name. There's a little girl who you lead around these kind of weird cubes that are all folding in on each other. I've got it on my phone, so I'm just going to look.
But I would say that as a service,
Monument
Valley. You can download the games right as this service.
Yes,
yes.
You see, I think that's a massive win. Like, I don't want to be caught in about, like, if I'm on the tube or in the countryside or some shit like that, where I'm having to force to play the lower rent game, shall we say. I want to be able to know that I've got them there. I don't have to go, oh, I'm on the
machine. Yeah, I like that
idea. It's game over, basically. Mm-hmm. And no microtransactions, so no pay to win. Yep. Brilliant. I'm on board.
At the moment. To entice people in.
Yeah, and hopefully it ends up giving a voice for those developers who look at the App Store at the moment and say, how can we compete? How can our game make enough money to pay back our costs? And Apple are hopefully, you know, giving those people a lifeline, no?
I think with the Apple Store, the iOS store, the way they do it at the moment, they're very vigorous in what goes on their store.
Right.
They want perfection, basically. Mm. So that's why I think so much more goes onto Android, because it's all open source. So anyone can make an app and upload it to Android.
Mm-hmm.
And then you rely on the market and natural PR and marketing to get it popular. But Apple were very vigorous on what goes on there. So I think as a game developer, to get your app onto the Apple subscription, the Apple Arcade subscription, I think is a benefit for them.
Okay.
Because it puts their apps then at the forefront of the mobile gaming market, as opposed to getting lost in hundreds of unknown games on the Android store.
But would you, so let's say you had an iPhone, would you actually use this service?
No. But then I'm not a mobile gamer anyway. So I've never...
Would you, John?
I don't think I would.
Okay.
I can see the benefits of it. But I just, these aren't the sort of games that I normally sink my teeth into.
No. Really. Mm-hmm. See, the last game I played on my mobile was probably Pokemon Go. When that first came out and it was all a rage and I had to go on it for a week and that was it.
Really? Yeah. So in that case, I can see why you wouldn't use it. I play games on my phone almost every day.
So oh, really?
Yeah. Or like on the tube or almost always playing something. A lot of times it's very simple puzzle games that you could just keep playing over and over again. But I have played a lot of, you know, sort of the bigger mobile games in the last couple of years. And I could see myself potentially going in for a service like this, but it all depends on what it costs and how they build out that library.
Is it a tenner a month? Or, I know it's in dollars.
I don't know if they've said the price.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was one weird thing.
$9.99.
The Apple News Plus and the new music is now $9.99.
Okay.
But they've not actually
If it was $9.99 in pounds, I would not pay that.
What's your price? What, five?
Five.
A fiver a month, a fiver a month's fair.
Yeah,
I think.
But then this does kind of build into the issue that we again hinted at in the Google Stadia podcast. Is this just going to be one subscription service too many? And is this going to launch and all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm paying for PlayStation, I'm paying for Xbox, I'm paying for Apple, I'm paying for Google, and then that's just your games. You're not even talking about your Netflixes and Amazons and Now TVs for the are we going to be inundated with subscription services and direct debit payments and
100 quid a month on subscriptions, basically.
All of a sudden, you just panic and cancel it all.
Yeah.
Or streamline the amount of services you're using. I worry that it's reaching reaching the point of oversaturation for that stuff.
Well, I think with the subscription, they said that the games will be available in the iOS store as well to buy outright.
Mm.
I think I'd rather just do that.
Well, that's the thing. If you go and have a look at a review for a game, and then you go and buy it outright once, and then it's yours. If you pay for this monthly subscription, download the game you wanted, and then stopped your monthly subscription, you lose access to that game as well.
But it depends on the price point, like, because those games are going to cost what, a few quid anyway to buy them outright. But if your price point's 5 quid, it's like, actually, you know what? I've got 100 games there. Wait,
you only need to find one to play a month to get your money's worth.
You've justified it.
Okay.
And there goes the alarm.
Classic. And that means right on time.
That is the end of the Apple discussion. Thank you, alarm, for pushing us on. Definitely nothing to do with potential fires happening elsewhere in the building. But maybe we should move on, because we've got one more thing to talk about before we wrap up and round up the news. We are going from the future of gaming and whether or not we're going to be playing hundreds of games a month via subscription services on our Apple iPhones, to the past of gaming. And Sega, a big player in the past,
Sega.
Not so much in the present.
Mm.
Give us another one of those, Steph.
Sega.
There's another little soundbite. Well, both do it at the same time, but harmonise. 3, 2, 1.
Sega.
That's not bad. That's pretty good. Yeah. Thank you.
There you go.
So Sega have made headlines for the first time in a little while, because they have announced that they are going to be releasing the Genesis or the Mega Drive Mini, another mini console in the wake of the ones released by Nintendo and even PlayStation in recent years. It's going to be shipping with 40 preloaded games, amongst them Echo the Dolphin, Toe Jam and Earl, Sonic the Hedgehog, Altered Beast, Gunstar Heroes, and of course many more. And it's got a price point of $69.99 here in the UK. John, I can't tell if your face thinks that that's reasonable or unreasonable. You're hard to read sometimes.
I mean, I was looking at the games there, and I was just thinking, what games that you've listed there would I be like, yes, got to jump on that?
Echo the Dolphin?
Yes.
Toe Jam and Earl?
Yes, and I'm out.
Altered Beast?
Nah.
Altered Beast is shite.
No. No.
I would honestly give up anything just to have a strand or a stream or a one-off video where Steph has to play Altered Beast. Has to, just so I can show him that it is shit.
It is awful. Or we'll buy one of these and force him to play it.
Damn.
Well, basically,
I can't believe you're saying this.
What, it's true.
Streets of Rage, that hasn't been announced yet.
That's what I mean. Where's there. Streets of Rage?
Would you be interested in the full list?
Yeah. Pops them out.
Then talk amongst yourselves.
Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't have a Mega Drive. All my friends had Mega Drives.
Yeah.
And so they all came like with Alex Kidd.
Alex Kidd. Yeah, Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Yeah. Great theme tune. Check it out. So it's always them playing like Sonic and that sort of stuff. And the only game I ever really got into was Premier Manager.
Wow.
On there. And I loved it.
How old were you?
God, I must have been about 8 or 9.
Statistics?
Yeah.
That's so where your love of statistical...
I was playing manager games at the age of 8 on a console.
That's where your love of statistics
came
from.
I've never really moved on from there. But like, none of those games are sort of jumping out at me, apart from like Echo and Sonic, and being like, these are essential retro titles.
Yeah, they're the classic ones.
Yeah. To be honest, looking at the list now, it seems that they haven't actually revealed them all. Oh. I think they've only revealed the first 10. So we said a lot of them already, but the ones we didn't say, Castlevania Bloodlines, Space Harrier 2, Shining Force, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, Comics Zone, and that's it. We said all the others. So
any of them jumping out?
Wow. No.
Didn't Sega release, so there was a Mega Drive Mini that came before?
There's always been weird bits and pieces, like weird pack-in consoles and consoles that are essentially running emulators that just...
The kind of thing you get from the gadget shop.
But you're also thinking about, we talked a lot about the stuff that Analog make, that company.
Yeah.
And they're always re-releasing, you know, Mega Drives and Genesis and stuff like that. Are you thinking of that, maybe?
Yes.
That was in a 6S. So I think this is the first time that Sega are coming out and saying, this is a mini Genesis with games on it.
From Sega.
From Sega. This is the first time that Sega are saying, we've looked at what Nintendo and PlayStation did, here's a Genesis.
Yeah.
I might be mistaken, but that's my understanding.
I mean, what games would you want to see, though?
That's it. Echo.
That's it. You've got... you're happy with Echo the Dolphin, Altered Beast, and Sonic the Hedgehog. You'd be like, no, shove the rest of them.
Streets of Rage needs to come back. Needs to come back, I think. That was a big one. A couple of Disney ones, like The Lion King or Aladdin.
I don't know if they'll be able to get the licenses for that
probably
stuff.
Probably not anymore.
Aladdin was great, though. The Magic Carpet Ride level, though, can go fuck itself.
A couple of other shouts, potentially. NBA Jam was, NBA of course, Jam. A fairly popular game for the Genesis, amongst other because of consoles and arcade cabinets. Likewise, Mortal Kombat 2 and Street Fighter 2. I've seen a lot of them,
Mortal
they
Kombat
were big sellers.
Mortal Kombat.
I'd love Mortal Kombat to be on there.
Pac-Man? No. Sonic Spinball?
Reaching.
And then a lot of the other stuff you need licenses for. So NFL games sold well on the Genesis. X-Men, Mighty Morphin, Power Rangers, Jurassic Park.
Yes, Power Rangers and Jurassic Park.
If they went back and got like FIFA 95 on there, that'd be great.
It would be quality. And then to tie into what Steph was saying, also a difficult one for licenses, but the top three best-selling games on the Genesis, Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Disney's Aladdin.
Yes.
Yeah, Aladdin is just quality.
That is the awkward thing. It'll be a big part of a lot of people's so Sega Genesis or Mega Drive memories, but I don't think they're going to be able to get it. And
no,
that might be the tale.
Yeah,
for
if I rocked up and gave that as a gift to childhood mate, they'd be like, where's all the good games? Where's all the games that we played?
What about Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Who remembers that Sega classic?
Jesus Christ. I remember the TV show, mate.
Brilliant. Well, this is a TV show was actually acted, or was it a cartoon?
It was a cartoon.
See, this wasn't. This was statistics again. This was a text-based game.
But okay, I was confused for a second. I was like, they had a live action Carmen Sandiego on the Genesis.
No, this was text-based, and you had to go to various different countries in the world. Once you get to that country, it gave you three options. You could go to like the airport or the cafe or the restaurant or something. You go to one and it give you a clue.
Yeah.
And then you had to use general knowledge or...
To find Carmen Sandiego.
To find Carmen Sandiego and go to their next country. Brilliant game.
She always wants to be there, don't she?
She always dodged. Never, not very good at
Is
that.
Is the trick that she's always in San Diego?
No.
Because that would be a good twist.
You start there, wouldn't you? Yeah. You would start there.
But it got me, when I was a kid, it got me... knowing a lot of the world's flags, because you have to have knowledge of the world's flags.
Great knowledge,
this is good stuff.
Yeah. Brilliant game. That should be on this one. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Which country doesn't have a rectangular flag?
Ooh.
Doesn't have a
rectangular
flag.
He's done you there.
Flag.
Where's your Carmen Sandiego knowledge now?
I don't know. Which country doesn't have a rectangular flag?
Nepal.
Oh, really? What shape is their flag?
It's like two triangles.
On top of each other?
Yeah.
That's very odd.
Fascinating stuff from us here.
I mean, lovely stuff, isn't it, Jay?
Yeah. I mean, are you
going to bring this round? Are you going to save this? Section?
There is no segue that takes us from the flag of Nepal to...
Carmen Sandiego didn't make it all the way to Nepal.
Well,
for me to know that.
Maybe.
So that was a trick question.
There you go. What am I meant to do with that?
I don't know.
Come on, you two.
Look.
This is a podcast.
He challenged me with some flag stuff. I thought I'd throw my weight in there.
I'm not denying... It's great knowledge for the folks at home. And please do reach out to us. Let us know in the comments down below.
What's your favourite flag?
What are your favourite flags?
Fun with flags.
No, but seriously, do reach out to us, not just when it comes to your favourite flags, but what you think about all these news stories. What games would you like to see on the Sega Genesis Mini, seeing as there are 30 more games yet to be announced for that platform?
Is there?
Yeah.
So there's going to be more.
They've announced
than...
there will be 40 preloaded.
Clearly wasn't listening.
Yeah, he doesn't need to listen.
No, I didn't listen to that.
He lives in a world of his own. Also, what do you think about services like Apple Arcade? Which price point would be right for you? Would you sign up at any price point at all? And are you excited for Borderlands 3? It's these questions and more that we want answers to from you. Because really, we're just three random blokes whose opinions don't mean much. And we'd like to know yours. So comments down below if you're watching on YouTube. But if you're watching, or maybe listening, I should say, on iTunes, Spotify, Google, Audio Boom, platforms, then maybe you should reach out on social media. You can hit us up on Twitter or on Instagram at All Time Gaming TV, or over on Facebook at All Time Gaming Official. Steph here is the man that handles all those pages. Yep. So you'll actually be talking to him. You can ask him in person about flags of his favourite countries. Think about it. The opportunities are endless, so do get in touch. And now, gents, this is usually the section where we'd read some comments, some feedback from the viewers and listeners, maybe a few questions. But I thought, seeing as today is April 1st, aka April Fool's Day, I'd hit you up with something a little bit different. Now, none of the news stories or anything that we've said so far has been an April Fool's Day joke. I will clarify that. But naturally, you go around the internet, you're going to see a lot of headlines and news stories that are spoofs, that are April Fool's jokes. And I was wondering if between you two, you could tell the difference between a genuine news story or an April Fool's joke. So all of these are either going to be something that actually happened in the last couple of weeks, or they're going to be an April Fool's joke.
Okay.
I've got 10 stories in total. I won't tell you how many of them are real, how many of them are April Fool's.
Okay.
I want to know what you think they are based on your gut reactions.
Right.
Are you ready to start?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to start you off with an easy one. After seeing 774 million killed in the last 2 months, Capcom have revealed they're now hiring zombies. Capcom need a few more zombies around their place, and they're actually hiring them. So if you're a zombie listening, get your CV or your resume scrubbed up. Is that an April Fool's Day joke?
Yes.
I think false as well.
You're both going April Fool's?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're both correct. I said we start off easy. Now it gets a little bit stranger. The Skyrim grandmother... That's the nickname, apparently. The 82-year-old, famous for her Skyrim videos on YouTube, will make an appearance as an NPC in The Elder Scrolls 6. Is that an April Fool's Day joke, or is that real news?
That's real news.
That's real news.
Real news. You're both correct again. I fucking hope this quiz isn't too easy, because a lot of these are obvious.
I only knew that because I actually found it yesterday.
Oh, you're spoiling it now. Come on. Can you just do what John does and not pay attention to any gaming news apart from the morning before he's on the podcast?
How dare you?
Impressed. Shout out, tell us more about
Crusader Kings 2. Nintendo have given Kirby a new shape that they have dubbed Cubey, and it's shaped like a giant. You guessed it, cube. No longer a spherical Kirby, a cube Kirby.
I don't know whether this is true or false, so I'm going to go April Fool.
John is saying April Fool.
Yeah, I'm going to go April Fool.
Steph is going
well.
April Fool. Keeping up the trend of you two, just going with what the first person said, it is, in fact, an April Fool's joke.
Yes.
Free for free.
Sega's RGG studio have revealed that they're making a turn-based RPG in the Yakuza universe. Is that an April Fool's joke, or is that a real news story? Steph, I'll start with you this time.
April Fool's.
April Fool's, John.
I was going to go Fool's as well.
You're sticking with your guns?
Yeah.
You're sticking with it. They're both going April Fool's. It is an April Fool's Day joke.
Yes. Yes.
Our next one, a respected filmmaker, whose name I won't say, for his sake, privacy, you know, has recently gone on record and revealed that he would be able to, and in fact would like to, make a movie out of the clicker game Universal Paperclip. Is that an April Fool's Day joke? Or is that real news?
Oh. You've done well there. Doing with the old, our director, I will not reveal his name, to give it a bit more authenticity.
I'm going to go with true news.
True news?
I was going to go true, but to keep it interesting, I'm going to go false.
You should have just copied him. It's true. So John, for the sake of the game, has sacrificed a point and given up the lead to Steph. It is in fact true. I didn't write down his name. It sounded Hispanic. or Spanish or something like that. And he said that he can make a Universal Paperclip movie.
For the record, I would have picked the same. So, I believe you.
This one. A new Lord of the Rings game is coming out in 2021, but it's all about Gollum. Exclusively about Gollum. Is that an April Fool's Day joke, or is that true?
That is true news.
True news?
I've got nothing to lose now.
False.
It is unfortunately true news, John.
Oh my God, I'm on the ropes. So many questions left.
You've got four left and you're 2 points behind.
Right, here we go. The greatest comeback since Lazarus.
Riot Games are introducing an epic Cats vs. Dogs skin set to League of Legends.
False.
April Fool's.
Yeah, I'm going to go with April Fool's.
It is April Fool's
All
Day
All he's
got
to do is match me.
Yeah.
This is Phil.
Well, this is Steph is worried. He doesn't want to play the game. He wants to look cool in front of the people watching, and so he's ruining it for everyone. Whatever.
Too cool.
Nintendo have announced the new Labo product. You know what Nintendo Labo or Labo is?
No.
It's the cardboard stuff you cut out and fold up and you make weird. So their new product is the Nintendo Labo Okata Zuke. It is literally a cardboard box that you put your other cardboard bits inside. They're releasing a Nintendo cardboard box.
True.
You're saying false. True. You're going April Fool's.
Yeah.
It is true.
Yes!
It's a point for John.
Come on!
Which means John is 1 point behind with two questions left.
This is tension.
Square Enix have turned Omega, the boss from Final Fantasy XIV Stormblood's main raid, into an assistant. A home assistant, I should say. Like Amazon Alexa. Are Square Enix entering the home assistant market? Is it an April Fool's Day joke or is it true? Steph?
April Fool's Day.
It's April Fool's Day. John?
False as well.
You're both correct. It's April Fool's, which means it all comes down to the final question.
This is the tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker. Steph, 1 point in the lead. John needs this to even it out.
Oh, I'm in the lead.
This is the tiebreaker.
I need this to get to a tiebreaker.
And I fucking hope there isn't one because there's no more questions, lads. So
something tells me that the tiebreaker might be an April Fool's.
Let's read it and find out. GTA and basketball fans found common ground this week as it was revealed that a pro NBA player for the Indiana Hoosiers, whose name I also didn't write down, has got the infinite ammo code from San Andreas tattooed very big on his arm.
True.
That's true.
It's true. You both get a point, which means Steph, who kept his 100% record of copying everything John did when he went second, has somehow won the quiz by 1 point. Do you feel proud of yourself? Are you happy?
Well, it'll get me through the day.
I'm fuming. Well,
the inaugural quiz.
I lost the flag boy.
Flip the table.
Unlucky, John. You're meant to be Mr. Knowledge. The King of Knowledge. Well, that was a bit of a shit quiz anyway, so we're probably never going to do another one on this podcast. So hopefully you enjoyed it. Let us know how bad it was in the comments down below.
I quite liked it.
Well, now it makes me feel inadequate.
Of course you liked it, because you won it.
I picked those out, and I thought, you know what, I might pull a few fast ones. It was fucking easy, wasn't it? Admit it.
Yeah, it was.
I got one wrong.
If it was easy, you got one wrong out of 10.
We would have got a perfect score.
Well, you nearly did, and you probably should have.
You got 9 out of 10, didn't you?
Yeah.
Whatever. Forget about it. Never doing a bloody quiz again. If you'd like to write us a quiz and send that in, then please do.
Gaming questions.
If you can do a quiz better than ours, then please, please genuinely send them in, because clearly we need all the help we can get.
Test our knowledge.
Test our knowledge and our might.
Yes.
Little Mortal Kombat reference for you there.
I love that minigame.
That doesn't link into anything. Just thought I'd shout out Mortal Kombat. Shall we move on to the final section of the podcast then, gents?
Let's.
It is, of course, the part of the podcast where you, the viewer and or the listener, get involved, because you write to us, perhaps on YouTube, perhaps on Twitter and Instagram, perhaps even on Facebook or even in the Discord, and we pull your comments and your questions. We read them out. We give you a little shout out along the way and we answer your questions, which brings us nicely onto a question that Mickey J left us. Mickey J wants to know, if you're on an island with only one game, fully playable, on a fully functioning console, what do you pick? Essentially, with no strings attached, what is your desert island game, boys?
Well, come on, I think we all know what I'm going to pick. I'll get it out of the way quickly.
Just burst that bubble.
It's going to be Crusader Kings 2. But if it has to be... But am I allowed that? Because it says console.
I'm going to allow it.
Thankful.
No, I know Mickey J is a PC player, so I'm sure he would too.
Well, I'll pick Crusader Kings 2 because it just has...
Do you not worry
infinite.
That you played so much of it before you're on the desert island that actually you get there and you're like, well, I've played this game for 2,000 hours, I'm not going to start again.
Infinite replayability. Okay. I still never won a game as the Byzantines, so...
There you go. That's something you can do.
I reckon I could never do that on the desert. I could be on there for 20 years and I still won't be able to finish a game as
we'll
the bad
put
as
that
it
to
is.
The test one day. What about you, Steph?
See, I'm thinking if I'm on a desert island, I'm probably going to be there for a long time, like castaway amount of time. So it's going to have to be a game that's going to last.
Yeah, I think that's
a good idea.
I would pick something like Skyrim or Oblivion, one of those types of games.
Do you not worry that they are somewhat finite and if you've done all the quests, there's actually not that much replayability? Like Crusader Kings 2, John will probably say, is different every time. Yeah. Skyrim isn't.
Have I got an internet connection?
Yes.
World of Warcraft.
That is a much better shout, I think.
Because that game is just so big now that there would just be loads to do, to grind to level 80.
Although I'm going to say, although you'll have an internet connection, you can play the game, I'm not going to allow you to communicate with other players.
That's fine.
Okay.
Even typing.
That's fine. Because then you could be, lads, I'm on a desert island. Could you come and find me? It's the one with
No one would believe you. Can you imagine if you saw that message in a text chat on a game?
I think you'd eventually find someone who believes you.
Hello, I'm stuck on a desert island. Could you please send a boat?
They're all going to go, no, you have an internet connection.
Yeah, you've got the internet.
Yeah, you got the internet.
I love the idea of imagining Castaway, Tom Hanks, on the beach with his big beard, but he's just sat there at a desktop with a fucking proper rig. He's in VR.
Like you, Jay, what are you picking?
I think we've had a similar question like this before, and I want to say my answer at the time was, I think FIFA is extremely replayable, but I'd be a little bit miffed if I knew that the rosters were changing and transfers were happening.
You got an internet connection now?
Yeah, but eventually they stop patching the old ones.
Yeah, they do.
If I'm on this desert island for more than 2 years, then all of a sudden, I don't know. So I might go with something like... honestly, at this stage, maybe even something like The Division 2, where I know that if I'm on... here's my thinking, right? Those loot shooter games, they are meant to be played and played and played again. And they're often supported with years worth of content. If The Division 2 is going to be supported for literally years and it's only just come out, I know I'm getting regular drops of new content every quarter or every season for a couple of years.
Mm.
It's one of the only ways that I think you can pick one game and continue to get new content other than maybe doing what Steph did with World of Warcraft on the basis that maybe you're allowed the expansions. I don't know. So I think I might roll with The Division 2 or a Destiny 2 or something like that. Something that I think will continue to be updated and given new content as it goes. So there's always something fresh.
Fresh.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd probably live to regret whatever I picked. So
yeah.
It's not a fun question to not something to fun thing to entertain. Very miserable, lonely lifestyle desert island living.
Yeah, probably would be. Probably stinks as well.
Yeah, I'd probably eat a lot of sand because I'm not very resourceful. Yeah, sand would get everywhere.
Yeah.
You get sand in your PC and all of a sudden you can't play a desert island game.
I wouldn't camp on the beach. I'd go a little bit further up.
You'd go inland.
We haven't agreed on this backstory. it could just be a flat beach. It's literally just a beach. There's only sandies. There's no coverage from the sun. I'm burnt all the time. I'm miserable.
You'll be dead.
I'm
using the PC as cover from the sun.
Yeah, I'm not playing it.
Honestly, what would happen to me is they'd find me and they'd be like, oh, it seems like he only survived 7 days. He had heat stroke and was drinking salt water the whole time and he didn't eat anything.
He went insane from the
salt water.
You'll be dead before 7 days.
I don't have to get the salt out of the water. I just drink it like this.
Boil it.
What are you boiling it with?
The sun on my desert island.
So you can boil water.
how hot do you think the sun's going to be to boil water? If it's boiling fire. Water I'd direct build... from the sun, I'd you're build... dead, mate. You're dead.
I'd build a fire. From the trees.
Yeah, from the trees.
I don't know how to build a fire. Flint, wood.
Kindling.
You need some kind of catalyst as well in there.
Now I just want a strand where Steph's stuck on a desert island and we have to see how
in 100 Celsius heat.
All water is literally boiling.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That is a strange little scenario you've painted out, but thank you for picking those games. What do we do? Let's see if we can squeeze in two more.
Go on then, mate.
Rampaging Noob asked a pretty interesting question. We haven't had one like this before. If you guys were guaranteed triple your annual income for the next 3 years, what would you do with the funds?
Mm.
And I'm going to take over this question here and say that this is two pronged. Mm. One, what would you do personal? And two, what would you like to see the channel do? Steph, why don't you go first?
I would definitely
start with your personal aspirations. What would you do with triple your annual income for 3 years?
I would upgrade my gaming rig.
Hell yeah, good start.
So I could get
on brand
higher quality streams.
Perfect.
And I'd probably upgrade my camera equipment as well.
Okay.
To something a little bit more.
So you're going on with the tech angle.
Yeah.
Okay.
I buy some tech.
So you spend all, you've tripled your income.
Yeah.
And all you're doing is buying a new rig and a camera.
Well, I'm assuming if you triple your income means
annually for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're doing 9 years worth of income in 3 years.
Yeah.
It would be
it's not a substantial amount of money to be able to like change your
life.
You change your life while you're living it.
Yeah,
it'd be a wedge.
Yeah, but I'd go on holiday. I'd buy some new.
So your lifestyle would change. You'd be maybe become a bit more free spirited. Yeah, more holidays.
Yeah.
Okay, but Steph,
rather than having a week off and spending it at home, next week I'd go to.
So he's going to buy a new rig and he's not going to play it.
Yeah. I'd upgrade my graphics card and my processor and then just say bye for a couple of weeks.
What about you, John? Is there room for a new PC in your budgeting?
I actually do have it on my wish list.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I'll get a new rig, 100%. I'd probably eat a lot of takeaway, to be honest.
Yep, good stuff.
I think I wouldn't even cook normal food anymore. It'd just be constant eating.
Yeah.
I'd be big. I'd be big at the end of those 3 years. Might try and buy a property. Who knows?
What I thought as well. You buy a property.
In the future, Steph living in the present.
But, I mean, I'm investing in my future in one way, in terms of shelter, but obviously health-wise, I'm kicking it hard.
Yeah.
You know.
But then that kind of meets in the middle. No one wants to live forever.
Do I have to work?
I'm going to say you do have to work.
The way I read that question, if you're tripling your annual income, you're still going to be paid on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there doing your life.
At the end of the 3 years, you've saved up a lot if you've
played. Think about getting to the end of the month and
you're used to having right now. You live your life within those means. You're twice over again.
Oh, then I'd do that.
Do what?
That is what it is.
I would not do anything different for the next 3 years.
Oh, you'd save
and take that massive chunk of money and then use that to either buy a house. It's not going to be a huge amount of money. That'll be the deposit on my first house.
What are you doing, Jay? Something more exciting than me and him, probably.
Honestly, not that much more exciting. I think something between the two. I've got some kind of tech desires, but not that many. I don't really have the room for a proper PC rig in my place right now.
But at the end of the 3 years, you would have.
I think, honestly, I'd try and find a way to upgrade my living circumstances. I don't know how, but that would probably be top of the list. Then... yeah, maybe I'd go away a little bit more, but I'm not a big holiday guy. No. I'm very boring. I always thought that even if I won the lottery, my life wouldn't change that much. Like, I don't have a taste for anything really fancy.
It would be me just doing things to excess that I already do, which is basically gaming and eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Maybe drinking.
I'd love to go to exotic places.
It's not enough money to like form an entourage, is it? Really?
Like just travel?
Not really.
You could live like entourage for 3 years,
but then you would have wasted it all.
Yeah.
You have the best 3 years of your life. You go back to your old life. It's so bad you kill yourself.
What's that? The Lotto lout? Do you remember him?
Who wasted it?
He wasted it all. Like he built a race car track in the back of his mansion and spent all the money on like racing cars and like drag races and fucking.
I read about a guy who helicoptered in on a paintball game. Like as a squad, he got a squad. He just invented this paintball game, and you actually like airlifted in on helicopters, and then he wasted his lottery winnings doing that.
Doing that over and over again.
Yeah,
and then went back to normal life.
Yeah, and just went bust.
Oh, man.
Mental.
Plenty of ways to do it, it would seem. Plenty of ways. What about the other side of the question? What would you like to see the channel do? Let's say the channel's annual income was tripled. Goals, aspirations, if you had a bit more wedge behind you.
My joke answer is, I'd love to see it break even.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That cuts
God,
deep.
That's morbid.
But triple income, I'd love us just to do more stuff, basically. Go out to more places, do Twitch all the time, have more people working on the channel so that we don't have to work as hard.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I don't even think it's that. Working hard is always good, I think.
God, showing off for the cameras again.
Working hard.
You've already won the quiz, mate.
Let me tell you, working hard It's not.
It's overrated.
Yeah. These signs have never done a hard day's work in their life, man. And I'm proud of that fact.
I did the lawn mowing for my mum. Mum's Mother's Day on Sunday, wasn't it? So I mowed the front and the back garden.
Yeah.
Horrible. It's all uphill, honestly. Hated it.
Hard work.
And because I'm such a grafter, I got a blister from the lawnmower. Look at that. From a lawnmower.
For those of you listening on audio, he's basically showing us the world's smallest blood blister on his middle finger.
Look at that. It is grafter's hat.
Like you would barely notice it. Even if you tried to show the camera, yeah, you'd think it was a mole or a freckle or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a petrol lawnmower. So you just pull the handle and it goes along and I got a blister.
Oh, God.
What about you, Jay? With triple the income.
These visual descriptors of like...
So good.
Anyone listening to the audio version of this, actually any version of this podcast is having an absolute... is living the dream. What would I do or like to see us do? Pretty much what you guys said. Bigger team, you know, more evenly distributed sort of responsibilities, and which means more time to just do cool stuff. We've got to experiment a little bit with that in the last couple of weeks. Game Changers and the Summoner tabletop campaign were examples of things that with more time and money we could do, but
it almost killed us doing
it. It almost killed us in a number of different ways. So yeah, being in a situation where stuff like that doesn't kill us would be nice. Okay, and how about one more question from Derpatron then, just to wrap it all up. And I thought this, I feel like I have to bring this up for Steph's sake. How can you guys run a channel together yet constantly fight when playing a video game? And this is my excuse, Steph, to almost apologise, because I realise that between things like the Overcooked video or the Battlefield 5 video or my way of saying to you how badly you are reading the comments sometimes on those live streams, that for some reason, like no one else in this channel, I give you a bit of a hard time. But just so the folks at home know, it's nothing personal, right?
I don't take anything personally. At all, I think when it's a very, I think it's a very different experience when you're in front of camera and you're behind camera, and I think my experience with that, wherever I've been, is that once the camera's on, no matter who you are, a character comes out.
Yeah,
you're like you times 100. You know.
Yeah.
Even if you're playing yourself, and then behind the camera, you kind of have a different personality to your on-screen personality. So I don't take anything. As soon as the cameras turn off, no one apologizes for anything, because I don't think anyone's taken anything to heart, because you can't.
Just that's a really nice way of putting it.
Just playing roles.
Yeah. It's essentially playing the role. It's playing your part.
Apart from apparently Alex Jones, who is pretty much the same on and off camera, which means you're just as likely to argue with him off camera as you
all
are
all times.
On.
All times.
Yes. And the boy loves an argument.
Yeah. He loves a debate.
But that's part of the fun, right?
It is part of the fun.
You fight with your family,
but I think as well, if we just sat there and we all had
Dominic Toretto's turned up
about family. That's my Vin Diesel.
I think if you haven't got that kind of on camera banter, and we are just sitting there playing a game, it would be a much more boring video.
Kind of like these podcasts, much like the other stuff we do, but much more boring. Because none of us play characters. We all just talk about random shit. Hope you've enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed the podcast today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was this a good one, John?
I loved it, mate.
It's been a little while. The last one you were on as well was like a bit different. You had Sam Richards from One of My Facts.
Yeah. And
talked about the Fire Festival.
At me about the Fire Festival for 20 minutes.
I love that there was a topic that wasn't about games, but it was still managed to be a topic about games that you didn't know about.
Yeah.
So either way, you still just had to listen. And
just listening and going, yeah. And then show me visuals from the show, and I'm like, again, this really works well on a podcast.
Look at this video.
Well,
although to be fair, today we've had your blister and your audio descriptive of a meme.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, if there's any consolation, you've been great today, John.
Thank you.
I'm
very
sure
much,
the
mate.
Folks
Thank
at
you.
Home are going to really enjoy it. You have too, Steph.
Thanks,
Thank
mate.
You both very much for jumping on this week, and thank you to all of you at home. If you maybe made a comment or asked a question last week and it made it onto the show. There are only three of you, so slim chance, but thank you. And if you're going to leave a comment or ask us a question ready for next week's show, then thank you. In fact, just thank you in general, because if you're listening to this, you've made it pretty darn far, and according to the metrics, not many people do. So you are one of the good ones.
The super fans of the super show.
The super fans of the super show, exactly. So thank you very much for watching and or listening. Whatever you did, whatever platform it was on, remember to like this video if it was on YouTube. Leave a comment down below if it's on iTunes, Spotify, any of that stuff. Please do leave a review, preferably 5 stars. But if honestly it wasn't, let us know as well. Because those kind of things, they really do help. Push us up the charts, push us up the rankings, help us find some new listeners so we don't have to cancel this thing in just a few weeks' time. And on that bombshell,
wow,
we will see you all next week.
Nice,
bye.
Nice.
Bye.
Bye.